detectives. Ooh, it's so cute. She's watching the detectives.
From somewhere out there, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And our guest tonight, Lee Lapin, his book, How to Get Anything on Anybody, book number 3. It is a big book. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Lee, this may be one of the biggest books I've seen in a long, long time. How long did it take you to write this?
I'm afraid to answer that. George, it probably took me almost 3 years. It is very, very big, and that may have been a slight mistake on my part. You know, I could have broken it up into 3 little ones, sold them a little better, a little cheaper. But I got into it and thought, you know, why don't I just put it all in one place? This is silly. Let's just do everything I know, everything I find in one place. I would say that was about 3 years from start to finish.
And it's like you're getting 3 books in one.
Yeah, pretty much. Thank you. Yeah, very true. Very true.
What can people do to fight back from those who want to investigate them, probe them? I mean, can they fight back?
Yeah. There are a number of things. Let's start off first with exactly what you asked, which is, there's also ways to kind of tell if you're under surveillance, but let's look at that. And the thing with that is, you're not going to want to do them all, you know, but in a house, ask yourself again, who wants you, you know? And once you've kind of decided that, then you can figure out what lengths you want to go. Now, just in my own personal life, and I'm not wanted for anything, I'm a nice guy. Mm-hmm. Everybody likes me, you know, well, most people like me. You know, my address is on nothing, man, and I don't even use U.S. post boxes because they're too easy to get into. Too easy to get the background information on. I will use Mailboxes R Us, where they don't ask for too much ID. Oh, and by the way, should you run into that and you're a private detective or somebody that needs to know, the way you beat that is you go to your local Goodwill store, and you buy an old FedEx or UPS uniform, and then you go get a box that says Panasonic TV, and you go to the guy and go, excuse me, I'm supposed to deliver this today. I need a signature. And they go, well, he doesn't live here. He goes, no, this is $600, and he ordered it specially. He paid $500, you paid $140 for shipping today. I have got to have a signature. Where does he live? Yeah, about 1 out of 2 will go, oh, I shouldn't do this, but...
Is that legal to ask?
Yeah. Pretexting, there have been a lot of laws. There was a law passed a few years ago called, I won't go into the whole thing, called the GLB Act. It put hundreds of pretexters out of business. One of my good friends in jail, he was one of the best in the whole business. And what he was doing was, he was so good, he was working for the FBI, and they wanted information on some IRS people, and he got that.
The FBI wanted information on IRS people?
I don't know why. I never quite understood that. And he went to jail for it. He wrote a book that's really good on it. The other one that was pretty famous, you may have even heard of him, was a group in Colorado, Muslim and white, called Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. And they would get you credit card statements. You know, and most of the ways you get those, and I'm not going to take time right now, but I can read it off to you, is you call the bank and you pretend you are someone that I want to give the information to. Hi, I'm Susan at the other Wairika branch. Instead of, you know, we have this problem, or, you know, he forgot to bring his credit card in. Oh, I know he's one of your customers. Here's his SS. Here's his, you know, do you have his number? Do you have his check number so I can, you know? I mean, there's just,
my God.
And people just, yes, here it is, sir. And he made, my friend who ended up badly, made a lot, and they think the couple that went to jail made millions and millions and millions. You know, it's credit card charges, it's phone numbers, it's finding people, and it's called pretexting. The act that passed says basically you may not pretext for financial information.
Today, but, the IRS nailed some huge corporate guy, I'm not going to give his name,
right?
$200 million they think he has hidden in offshore banks and things like that. $200 million? How could you do that and not expect to get found?
Well, you know, how many knows? How many haven't gotten found? The IRS is good And God, I don't want to say bad about the IRS here. Please, don't get me wrong, guys, for listening. I really love you guys. They're good, but there's got to be red flags, you know. And if those flags don't show up in the computer and they don't see him, you live moderately, you don't drive five Ferraris and stuff, you're not setting off a lot of flags. And then you move to the Caymans. Well, bye. You know,
yeah, years ago, my accountant back in St. Louis, you know, and I was whining about paying taxes. And he said, George, what are you whining about? If you're paying taxes, you're making income. Be happy about it.
Yeah.
And that was his thing. And he always used to say, if you're in doubt, pay the tax, pay a little more.
And you
don't make a mistake.
Exactly.
You know, it's funny, though, we now have people who are challenging the ability, this is not a tax show by any means, Lee, but they're taxing the legality of the income tax because they claim it was never ratified. And you know what? They're right.
They're absolutely right. But do you, and I agree with that, but do you, and a number of them have gone to prison, you might add.
Being right.
Do you think that's ever going to, you know, make a dent in the, what are they going to do? They'll either change, they'll get some Republican to change the Constitution, or they'll just keep putting him in jail and hope you don't read about it.
The only way that would work is if everybody just stopped doing it. And they said, this is not legal yet.
Yep.
You're absolutely
right. And that would last about 20 minutes.
Yep.
You know, I mean,
and then they
I
make
know people
law.
Have tried that, you know. In the back of this particular book we've been discussing here, I list, and actually it's a list that I borrowed pretty much from a guy who was one of the best investigative journalists I've ever met. And he does 104 things that if you don't want to get, you know, it's things like, you know, have your documents notarized in another state, never get, you know, in a phone book, have your pet license. And people don't think about this. Have your pet license registered in your kids' names. Don't use your ATM. Don't dial 800 numbers on a secure phone. Never give out, you know, on and on. And he's right about this, but nobody can live that way.
No, yeah, I was just going to say that, Lee. I mean, we, you know, even I, you know, find myself, oh my gosh, let's get to an ATM. A lot of people don't carry a lot of cash with them, so maybe you need to go get $100 or something.
Right.
You got to use it.
Exactly right. But you can do some things, and I think the biggest ones are, you know, your driver's license never goes to your home address. You try and stay off all those kind of rolls. The one catch to that is if you buy a house, I can find your property tax, and that is pretty hard to get out of. I found several people that way. We had a person a couple years ago, a young lady who was working in a bank and had figured out a way to open safe deposit boxes that hadn't been renewed on time. There's laws about you can't do that anyway.
Right.
So, but she did, and she ran off with a lot of money.
Oh, no.
But she was dumb enough to keep a real common name, let's say Joan Smith, to kind of keep her own name. I looked for Joan for a long time, and I had some idea of the state she'd moved in because of her lifestyle before. People tend to move with, you know, they're kind of, you know, what they do, okay. So I ran it, and you know what I came up with? That particular little town was so anal that she had gotten a ticket for walking her dog off the leash.
And it was in the records. You found her that way.
But see, her other records all went to phony mail drops 60 miles away. The cop took the dog home and wrote on the ticket what the address was.
Trapped by the dog.
Exactly. You know, and it's things like that that catch you. It's forgetting the little, how hard would it be to, you know, go find that? It's just, you know, and I don't want a listed phone number. I don't need one, you know, and it's not that I'm paranoid. I just don't want it.
One lady is asking, and this seems to be very important to her. She just texts, so I have what is called Fast Blast, which is like text messaging over my computer here.
Right.
But she's out of Texas. She says, please ask Lee, how do you find out if you're being taped? How do you find that out?
Okay, that leads into a really good thing. I'll tell you what, this can take a half sec, George, but it's probably worth it.
All right, we've got time.
There's no way to, the tape thing, the most common way to put anybody under surveillance ever, always has been, it still works, is you go to your local neighborhood surveillance store, or I like to call them Radio Shack. And by the way, Radio Shack once wrote me a thing saying they didn't appreciate me saying that. But nevertheless, they have so many nice things you can use for, you know, tape recorders. They're called dropout recorders. They turn your phone on automatically when a phone call comes, and they record everything that comes into it. Okay, now there's a few things you can do, and I'm desperately searching through my mess of papers here because I wanted to answer this question
okay.
for you. To do, basically, you think about, you know, is somebody got information that they shouldn't have, and then you test it. Then you go and you say something over the phone that nobody in the world should have, and you see if it comes up. Now, I had a friend who was going through a divorce. We did this, and the next day his divorce lawyer called and said, I hear you have a boat down at Ethan.
Oh, it was a test, you know? And you trapped him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Another nice thing you can do is tape your own phone. This sounds silly. Tap your own phone. Put the little Radio Shack device on it. If I'm going to tap your phone, I'm going to come in at midnight probably, and I'm going to test it afterwards. I want to make a phone call to make sure it's working. Sorry, I got the wrong number. Click. That's kind of a red flag there. Why'd you call me at midnight with the wrong number and didn't leave your name and number? And, you know, you got to test it out. The best thing you can do, period, is, well, read my book, read other books, see what the stuff looks like. Go look at it. Now, I tell people that if they think somebody has actual access to their phone, buy another phone, exact same brand, take it apart. Does it look the same inside?
Mm-hmm.
Does one have little black boxes the other one doesn't have? You know, if it does, you got a problem.
And what are the rules in tape recording? You can tape record someone with a
good
hidden
question.
Tape recorder, but if they have a wireless that transmits, they need a court order, don't they?
No, actually what it is some states are called one-party states. California is a two, which means that if you're going to record me, you need my permission, which is why your producer says, you know, we may record the show, and you're a pro.
Right.
Okay,
right.
You're legal. Some states are one party, which means I don't got to tell you nothing.
As long as you know, right?
Right. But there's a trick to even the two-party states. If I'm going to record you, I just say, this call may be recorded for quality control purposes. I just filled the law.
You just record all I want. Right. You just spit it out, and there it was. A lot of disc jockeys in the past, maybe
right.
even some present, would get in trouble with the FCC
right.
because
right.
they'd call somebody up, they'd record it, they never told them, hey, you're on live.
You're going on air.
Yeah.
George, actually, in my old days, I actually worked in radio for a network, and you're absolutely right. And I told a couple of news guys, you should tell them that it's going to be news because, you know, you're listening. Okay, real quickly, I'm going to run down here. This is by a guy who was a CIA agent for many years.
All right.
And I'm just going to kind of summarize it. He says the way to tell is others know your confidential business or trade secrets. Okay, that's good. Secret meetings and bids seem to be less than secret. Okay. People know your activities and they shouldn't. You have noticed strange sounds or volume changes on your phone lines. This is commonly caused by amateur eavesdropping equipment because they'll do a wiretap like a Radio Shack thing. And it doesn't work as well as the real good stuff. You're not going to hear the DEA on your phone. Okay, even though some static popping or scratching in your phone lines, this is a certain type of unit that sometimes causes that. Again, this isn't 100%. My friend was going through a divorce, got this one. Sounds coming from your phone handset when it's hung up. It's real easy for me to jump across your handset inside your phone. It takes me 20 seconds, and then I can hear what's going on in your room all the time.
Even with the phone down on the handset.
In fact, one of the most famous bugs in the world was called the harmonica bug. It was invented in the late 50s by George F. K. Company. What they did was they give you a little harmonica with two notes you could use. I'd call you, and I had to install something on your phone or on your phone wire outside your house, but better on your phone. Called you up, blew my harmonica. That stopped your phone from ringing, turned on my microphone, and let me hear everything in the room that was going on. That went out of business because now, when you call someone, the phone line does not connect until we actually start, until you pick up the phone. Okay, so you can't do that. Well, I'm going to name this company. This is a company called Schomer Tech, and the owner's a friend of mine, and he is great. He's got a guy who's designed a way to beat that. What it kind of does is, like, it stores a ring, and then it waits to hear the noise. It's not a harmonic anymore. It's a little, you know, past a couple digits. And then it will do that. It'll turn the phone on, and until you hang up, I'll hear everything goes on in your house. And it's I'll pay his long-distance charges if I have any.
I knew a guy, Lee, who would go make proposals to companies, and it was important to him that he knew what they were saying after he was told to leave the room to come back.
What he
would do, and it wasn't very technical, but he would have two cell phones, and he'd have one in his briefcase that he had on, it was on, and he had it hidden under papers and stuff. So he'd walk in with his briefcase, and he'd just, you know, open it up and flip through it, and he'd be sitting there, he'd make his proposal, and they'd say, you know, would you please leave for a moment? And then he had his other cell phone already hooked into it. He had dialed it. So he'd just go back in some room, and he'd listen to everything they were saying about him.
But he did the same thing, only he actually taped his the underside of the conference desk when nobody's looking. He didn't do a very good job. It fell off.
Oh, no, and they saw it?
He went out, came back, and said, excuse me, I think I left something here, picked up, walked off, and nobody asked him what it was.
Oh,
I mean,
that saved him.
These were lawyers sitting there going, well, that looked like a cell phone source. Most good new bugs or GPS tracking, which we can get into, are cell phone based. That is the best way to do it. You see a lot of units that don't necessarily look like cell phones that will do it. There is one cell phone, and I've used it, sold out of San Francisco. It is a wonderful thing. It has GPS tracking on it. It has silent ring. Okay, this is Lapin's first rule always. You want to get somebody bugged, give it to them as a gift. Hey, I got you. Look what I got you for Christmas. Oh, it's a really cool cell phone.
It's like a Trojan horse.
And I can call it up anytime I want, stop it from ringing, hear what you're saying, and read on my computer exactly where you are on
That's
the GPS.
Funny.
And they're for sale, and they're not that expensive. So, you know, that's a trouble. That's coming.
What really happened to Paris Hilton?
You know,
they're talking about a T-Mobile website.
I think somebody probably went through one of these databases that I mentioned. I mean, I could go through them all, but yeah, I could, you know, in theory, when they started this look up search bit, they said, we won't do celebrities. Okay, well, you know, who's a celebrity? I guess you should think Paris Hilton would be a celebrity. But a lot of them stopped that stuff. Now, your producer and I talked real briefly. When I first started pushing this book, I did a thing, and it was with someone. I was very friendly with a woman who later became, I cannot say her name, she's an anchor woman on a network, and I had called her up and said, oh, how you been? Saying, oh, years, oh, how you doing? And I said, well, I'm still writing this thing. You know, I said, would you mind if I ran a little thing on you, and I'll show it to you. I won't publish it. I'll show it to you. And then you can, you know, say, you know. She said, sure, no problem. Man, we took a couple of days. We got her home address, price paid for the townhouse, type of neighborhood, average selling price, her driver's license number, her cell phone number, pager number, her cell phone bills, who called her, credit cards held. Look, I mean, we got 150 everything. Called her back and showed her, and she freaked. So, both police, get my name. They'll fire me. Oh, my God. Oh, please. And I understand that. And that was part of the agreement. And I said, no, I won't do it. But you just start with that one thing, you know. And this was legal, by the way. No surveillance devices. No weird stuff.
Yeah.
This was just.
Just out there.
I'll just do it. Yeah. One of the real, real oddball stories that I had was I was trying to investigate this place in San Francisco where lawyer's office, and we knew secrets were leaking out. Okay, we'd done some sweeps. We got some people in there even better than I was, and they couldn't find it. You know, what's going on? And I realized, well, they're talking by this window, you know. So I walked around the block just to think. I'm thinking, what? And I walked by the San Francisco School of Deaf and Blind. And I went in and said, can I ask you a question? Do you ever rent out lip readers? She said, funny you'd ask that.
Brilliant.
We just did a little while ago. Hey, come on, you know? I mean, those kind, that's what breaks through.
Absolutely.
It's not always having the neatest gadget, you know. It's having the best plan.
How do you find the book, Anything on Anybody?
We are, the best place I would say is our website, which is intelligencehere.com. It's the book. We have some other stuff I'm not going to go into. We also have a newsletter that kind of updates the book and does other stuff. Of course, we're on Amazon, and we are in some bookstores. We're big, we're expensive, and it's thick. So bookstores are sometimes like, this thing weighs 18 pounds.
But it's like getting a couple books.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is.
Yeah, I mean,
so you see in some bookstores, you don't see in others. But please, you know, Intelligence Here. All you got to remember is where is intelligence. IntelligenceHere.com. And it gives a real nice description of it and tells what's going on.
580 pages.
Yes. 580 pages of my life.
Listen to it, everybody. Thank you. That's it. That's a big book. Stay with us. Lee Lapin, my guest. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We'll continue chatting with him then at the top of the hour. We'll open up the phone lines. Those of you who are calling right now, not yet, not yet. You'll be ringing and ringing, and we won't answer. We'll be back.
The official website of Coast to Coast AM is www.coasttocoastam.com. Log on now. Is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Lots of people are joining the Filament Book Club. As a matter of fact, I should get Lee to talk to the folks at the Filament Book Club and see if we can get his book in there. Call 1-888-95-EBOOK. That's 1-888-95-EBOOK, or you can go online at Filament, F-I-L-A-M-E-N-T, bookclub.com. As a matter of fact, I was just glancing around one of my rooms today, and books scattered everywhere. You know, with an electronic book device, it's all included in there. It's just in that little machine. Take advantage of it. Now, when you become a member of the book club, that's when they give you a free electronic book. 1-888-95-EBOOK or Filament, F-I-L-A-M-E-N-T, bookclub.com. Lee, would you like me to talk to the people who put out this electronic book club, and they can just talk with you, and if you guys cut your own deal, so be it?
Most certainly.
On how to get your book involved in that?
Okay. Please, your producer's got my information? Yeah, of course.
Okay, we will do that.
Or just go through the website. Yeah, theintelligencehere.com, please, yeah.
William Colby, former director, CIA. Amazing stuff he says about your book.
Mr. Colby and I got along. He was a very intelligent man who... was very surprised to see some things in print that he didn't actually know. It was fun. You know, you also have to remember, I got to put a disclaimer there, you know, the DAA doesn't always know what they, and the KGB doesn't always know what they, you know, not everybody knows what everybody's doing all the time, you know. So I try and show it all, you know, and it's sort of like, ooh, that's cool. I didn't know they had that. Wow, that's kind of interesting.
In your history, what has been the most strangest story you've ever done?
I would say probably.
That you can tell us on the radio.
No, I can do it. No names. I got two real weird ones. I had a guy contact me who was kind of a friend of mine years ago who was a plastic surgeon, very well off in San Francisco. And he suspected that his wife was not only cheating on him, but there might be some other real problems going on. And I said, well, you know, phone tapping is illegal. And I'm, of course, saying this without reading my rights. And I trust you're not a cop. I said, well, you know, if you really think, and he said, I really do. I said, well, why don't I put a real limited, you know, just kind of off the wall thing. And, well, we got boyfriend and wife is a nurse. We got boyfriend and wife talking about not only how they were going to kill him,
oh my,
and inherit his money, and, you know, on and on. Now, we couldn't use this in court because it was an illegal act, man.
But you could save his life.
he divorced her rather soon thereafter, you might suspect, when he played the tape for her lawyer, which really was not really legal either, but they kind of folded real fast over there. And he turned to me and said, you know, I really owe you. I'm the best plastic surgeon around. You know, what do you want done? What do you want to look like? And I said, Dad, I think that's the strangest payment I've...
You didn't take him up on it, did you?
I said, if I wasn't so cute, you know, already... Jeez, man, I wish you'd said that when I could have looked like Brad Pitt or something, you know, I'm past that, you know? No, I did not, but I thought that was an unusual situation. We had another problem where we could not figure out how to see, let me preface this a little bit. The DEA and other people have developed some really neat ways to see what goes on inside your house. Now, camera surveillance and audio surveillance are different things. In most cases in America, camera surveillance is legal. In most cases, there's other laws, privacy expectations, mm-hmm. on and on. Nicole Kidman got bugged twice in the last 3 years, you know, on and on. The smoke detectors up there with the cameras. But the DEA has figured out some really cool ways so they don't have to violate coming in your house, one of which is they'll put them in the transformer in the telephone line out front of your house, put a camera in there that pans, and it'll see them through your window. And if that doesn't work, they take the plastic traffic cones and put those in front of your house, and they have cameras and transmitters.
Oh, really?
And I
wanted to run over those things,
well,
but I never did.
Well, you don't run over the one that's going to, they'll probably pull you over and charge you for that one. You know. So we had this problem. I could have forgot to get in this place. They had a dog, and I thought, you know what would be funny? I had a really good friend who was a better engineer than I was. Said, why don't we put a little teeny pinhole camera and a transmitter in the dog's collar? He said, that's a great idea. Let's cut him loose. Well, to be real honest...
Pinhole cameras, how small are these cameras?
About the size of a dime now.
Okay.
They'll see through a hole as small as a pinhole.
Oh, my.
It's not crystal clear Nikon, but, you know, you can see it. So we cut the dog loose, you know, figuring, well, hey, we'll get something. And, you know, we could have made Animal Planet, I suppose, or, you know, Animal Cop. But dogs don't really go look at computer screens or, you know, what you're writing or what the stuff we wanted. The dog didn't seem to have a lot of interest in. We saw a lot of other nice dogs he made friends with. It was like we could have come out with the first porno a dog. If I thought there'd been a market for that, I probably would have done it, you know. And that was a mistake. I mean, it was just one of those things you think of, why not try it? You know, and then we had to track him down and get the damn camera back because it was expensive. But that was just one of those little stories that was like, well, got to try it. You
know what would be a great TV show? I think it might have been done. I'm not sure.
You know,
like A Dog's Life?
Since then, I think they have done it. This is what I'm talking 20 years ago. I think they really might have done it.
With audio, too? Video and audio?
We did not put audio in ours just because we were very afraid.
See, and
of
just
law.
Let the dog loose, let's say, in Manhattan or something, and then...
Well, we knew he stuck around his house. We knew he was an inside dog. So we figured, we'll see what's laying around. We'll see checkbooks, maybe. We'll see. We were trying to find out. These guys were pulling a lot of scams. We were trying to figure out what's going on. But like I say, the dog doesn't go out and read the computer for you. He has no interest in that.
That's right. So most of the time, he's on the floor asleep.
Yeah, exactly. That's the tape was a
so
lot.
So you got a
floor.
Lot of shots of people's feet and stuff
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and floor and
the water bowl.
And when you're talking about optical, it's surprising the amount of things that are invented to go in the bedroom. Most optical cameras are in clock radios. One of the first units I ever used that I thought was just hilarious was a camera you mounted in something, and it had a pressure switch, so when somebody sat on the bed mattress, it began recording. Now, why would you want that's the second biggest use.
You know, in some of these movies, you see this camera, but it's connected to the end of like a 6-foot wiggly wire thing.
Yeah.
Are those things real?
The other day, they had lowered their price. A company I really like now has a fiber optic viewer out for about $400, if I recall right. Now, that will go under a door, through a keyhole, through a very small place, and it produces a very pretty picture. An even better way, another engineer and I were sitting around talking one day, and he turned around and went and did it. He invented a reverse peephole viewer. It's just a little glass optic thing. If you walk down hotel lobbies, or you know that little peephole in the door?
Yeah.
Well, I can see in, and I can record in. And now they've taken that to the stage where they put night vision on it.
You mean it's not blurry anymore?
No, real clear.
Really, you put it right over it, huh?
Yeah, and just look into it, like look into a monoscope. And now they've actually got night vision hooked up to that, so I can see in the dark in your hotel room without committing a felony by, breaking your hotel room. So, I mean, it's just kind of still, some of those are my weirdest. Some of those are just like, oh, my God.
That's an incredible piece of equipment.
Yeah, and it's cheap. We're talking under $100.
How much of a private detective's business is family stuff like that?
When California, 15 years ago or so, passed the no-fault divorce law, it wiped out most of the PI industry.
Oh, it
has since come back somewhat. That's what we did. You do it for an advantage. Okay, maybe you can get a monetary advantage. Maybe you can see what your boss is doing. Maybe you're into blackmail. But most people are into seeing what the significant other is doing on those days when they're supposed to be golfing, you know?
Did you ever get a client, Lee, that was, I guess, sorry for what he had asked you to do? Here, case in point, let's say he says, look, I suspect my spouse.
Right.
I want you to do whatever you have to do. And you do, and you find out, and you come back and say, you know what? This is the most loyal person you could ever have. Do they feel guilty about hiring you?
No. The couple times it happened to me, and normally it has gone the other way, I'll be honest with you, it has come back where they go, thank you. Wow. Thank you. I'm so glad I came to you. And I don't feel it's my place to go, well, if you're so glad you came to me, maybe you should have trusted her a little more in the first. That's not my business. And people say, well, okay, how do I do this? How do I get someone to go do this? Because a lot of it is illegal. A few years ago, some students at the University of Cal at Berkeley were doing a videotape on just my kind of book stuff. And so they wanted to meet me. They called a bunch of PIs in the phone book straight out and said, and they were kidding, of course. They said, my wife, I think, is, they took their little video camera in. This was for like a graduate thesis. 4 out of 5 private detectives they called said, no problem, I'll install a bug in their phone line. That's a felony. I'll install it, that's a felony. Just right on camera. Oh, that's no problem.
Oh my,
I'll take care of it. So that's how this stuff gets installed. You don't got to be an electronics whiz.
The Big Brother aspect, which bothers me with cameras everywhere.
Right.
I've got to ask you this. It's a 9/11 question.
Yeah.
There were a couple cameras taking video of the purported plane that hit the Pentagon.
Right.
The FBI confiscated the video from a store, I believe, and then there was one that was over a traffic highway, which would have shown the plane coming right over.
Right.
They have kept that tape. They won't release it, and I don't know why. Why can't we get that surveillance tape? Why can't we look at it? Why can't we see what did these cameras capture? There could be no national security involved here, I don't think.
From my experience, and they're going to love me for saying this, you do not embarrass the FBI. I'm sorry, you do not. If I say you have the damn tape showing, and apparently now this is, I can't swear.
And you've heard of this, though, haven't you?
Yeah, oh, yeah, sure. And apparently now they have actually put guys up on the roof of the White House with Stinger missiles.
Yes.
And that was not there before.
Right.
And I assume it's because of some of that stuff. But the FBI's first rule, look at the witness security program. It used to be called witness protection. Okay, they throw you in there. You can literally commit mass murder. They're not going to give you up because that embarrasses the FBI. And I'm sorry to say that, and I know they don't like me anyway, so I might as well get it over with.
What do they have on tape, Lee, that they don't want us to see?
Boy, there's some things there that I would, you know, they have so many hours and hours and hours to pick one thing. Some of that app scam stuff was so great. Who else did that that they're not showing? You know, Nixon, come on. Some stuff that was going on there. I don't know if that was FBI or not, but, you know, they're good enough to get any place they want anymore. They just don't, well, A, they don't want to really worry the public for no reason. I can understand that.
Okay. I mean, my point is because there are a lot of people who believe that a plane did not hit the Pentagon. Now,
right.
there's no doubt in my mind that these four planes
right.
were hijacked and crashed and
yeah.
wherever they went, you know, some people can debate that.
Yeah.
I happen to believe the one over Pennsylvania may right. have been shot down by us. We probably had no choice, be that as
Very
it may.
Sure, of course.
If a plane indeed hit the Pentagon and they have it on tape coming by, you know, you could see it coming down the highway
sure.
or whatever,
yeah.
they should show everyone and make everyone who is not believing this story finally say, you know what, we were wrong. And the fact that they don't show it gives them the credence to continue with their theories that there was no plane, there was no plane
right.
parts. And until that happens, you know, the conspiracy of this issue is going to continue.
Look at the other side of it, George. Okay, I'm a... I know where to fly it next time. They didn't get that one, did they? Now, that's just my own opinion, but it's like, well, hell, they could do it. I'm a better pilot than they are.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's
possible. That's my opinion. And I just, that's not based on fact. That's just based on my opinion in dealing with
All right,
people.
Let me, let me ask you a fun surveillance question.
Sure, please.
A lot of people call us. They're getting 1111111 on their caller IDs. Some people think it's tied into their dearly departed ones that are trying to make
a call from the other side.
Other people say it's a telemarketing piece of software. What
right.
the heck is it?
Well, you got two choices. Most telemarketers won't bother with that because they know you won't pick it up. They'll do unknown name, and I hope you do. And we actually put some in the book. There are now several ways out there to spoof caller ID. I can call you, and it will not show up my name, my number. It'll show somebody else's.
Yeah.
And now you couldn't do that for a long time.
There's new software out for that, right?
Yes. And there's actually been, I actually interviewed the guy who pretty much invented that and did his story. And there's even some newer stuff than that. But yeah, and so I'm guessing somebody's spoofing or they're testing a spoof. Okay, what am I going to test with?
I see.
You know, that's my guess.
Or maybe it is the dearly departed one.
In that case, oh, geez, nobody.
You never know.
Nobody owes me money. I was going to say, in that case, my uncle, please give him the number of the website. You know, no, nobody owes me any money. I'm not a disbeliever. I wouldn't be on your show. I mean, I've seen a lot of things that changed my opinion about a lot of things. I don't know everything. You know, I'm pretty good in my own field, but who knows? Who knows? It's an electronic thing. If ghosts have electromagnetic fields, well, where's the big jump? I don't know. Maybe so.
Well, I'll tell you, you also might have great equipment to record these electronic voice phenomena called EVPs, where some people have recorded things that sound like voices from the hereafter.
Right.
That would be intriguing.
Yeah, no, that's a little. I have seen some of that, and that's a little bit out of my my realm. I know what they're using.
That would even scare you, Lee.
I'd love to sit there and see somebody that I thought really knew what they were doing do it in front of me, and try. I'm good enough. I could probably analyze the scope patterns and give you some ideas.
Would you be a
I'm not good enough to set it up.
Would you be a believer if you saw something you couldn't explain?
I think three or four times in my life I've seen things I couldn't explain. And I was stone sober, and it sure shifts you that direction, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. It sure does. In the old days, people tried to break into the houses legally.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't make sense. Break into a house, their own house.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
But then you have some crooks that try to break in. What were these things that I would see in the movies and things, like these funny little things that stick into the lock and twist it around? It wasn't a key. What was it?
All right, we got two tools to pick a lock. A friend of mine.
Okay, I gotta ask you to watch what you say, by the way. Okay.
Okay. A friend of mine invented something I'm not gonna name, that is an electronic lock pick. He sold mostly to agencies. It worked quite well, not in everything, but pretty well. He and I used it under color of warrant. We were legal to go into some places for an agency and get stuff out. Another guy I met, I went in to get some stuff copied at a copier store, and this guy said, oh, look at what you do. I've got a friend that invented something that can open any lock in the world. I said, no, you don't. Come on, man. He said, he lives right over there. Let me call him. He said, go see him. And I said, oh, come on. So I went over and talked to this guy. The guy is a master locksmith and ex-CIA guy, and he wouldn't ever admit it, but he's passed away in the last couple of years. His friends that I met did admit that. The CIA hired him to find a way to do what you just said. And I think I have the last of the few tools left right here. And I was a locksmith at one time. It's legal. Sitting right here in my house. He invented a thing that would open any door in the world, except if you had a key lock inside, okay? Deadbolt, no problem.
Right.
It was a thing that would go under the door, reach up, grab the doorknob and turn it, grab the deadbolt and turn it, knock off the bar, the police bar, push the open thing open, open the door, then you walk back out and it would lock them all behind you.
Like a skinny hand?
It made out of rolled steel, thick wire rolled steel in certain shapes. It just would pop. I made the instruction video for him because he didn't have instructions. I said, God, Bob, let me do this. And for a little while, the little company that I'm involved with here sold a few. And, man, we sold them to Army Intelligence. We sold them to, you know, CIA. And that's an amazing thing.
All right, stay with us. We'll be back in a moment. We'll keep the phone lines open for you now. It's your turn with our guest, Lee Lapin. I'm George Norrie. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. It just might find you get what you need.